This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the FEMA Region 5, coming to you from FEMA Region 5 in the new media production studio hideout designed by Audimute.com in Coldwater, Michigan. The lead stories are, as we near the end of week 6 of the national lockdown, Apple and Google to release COVID-19 tracking app. Zoom sees 300 million daily users. Automakers are fighting with the FCC over RF spectrum. SpaceX is launching more, or did launch more, internet satellites. I want to welcome you to episode 1441 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, April 23rd. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. We're live everywhere. We're live at geeknewscentral.com/live, live.geeknewscentral.com. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Twitch. Don't think we're on Mixer tonight. It didn't look like the stream came up, but we're just about everywhere else. Thanks for joining us. You're watching live. I'm watching a chat room in Facebook. So if you're on Facebook, make sure you say hello. Check in there. That's where I'll be able to easily acknowledge you. But if you're brand new, literally, if you are brand new to the show, we want to make sure you stay connected to the podcast. And really, all you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com. And when you're on the website, you're going to find you're going to find all the great articles on the website that my writers create on a daily basis, along with multiple ways to subscribe to this podcast, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Android, Stitcher, by email, or just using a standard RSS feed. Make sure you grab the show, get it subscribed to in your smart device, your smartphone, whatever it may be. We definitely want you to be subscribed to the show. Get subscribed to the newsletter while you're on the website as well. You can listen to the show on blueberry.com. And of course, there's a great way to listen to it on a smart home device as well by saying the keyword to activate that device and say, listen to the podcast, Geek News Central. Of course, you can join our chat room at geeknews.chat. And that's a Mastodon chat server if you want to come over there and chit chat. Also have chat channels on Slack and on Discord. All those links are available. If you want to be on Slack, all you got to do is email me and I'll get you added to Slack. The Discord link is in the show notes at geeknewscentral.com. And of course, you can contact me anytime via email, drop me a note, and on Twitter at Geek News. And of course, follow me on Facebook. Partner shows are all linked at geeknewscentral.com. And that includes the GNC Week in Review, the Gadget Professor, the Pro Gear site, the New Media Show, Podcast Legends, and the Podcast Insider Show. You can always pick up Ohana Gear at cafepress.com/Ohana Store. And thankfully, and I'm very, very appreciative, our friends at GoDaddy are continuous sponsors of this show. We want to thank them for being the longest running sponsor of a podcast that's available today. And you can get clear savings by going over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Check out all those great deals. Start off with a $499.com. or 30% off a new product purchase, $1 a month economy hosting for the first year with a free domain, or $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. Or even if you're a business owner, free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans for the first month. Again, all those promo codes are linked at the website. Use them at checkout or just click on them right on the website to lock in the savings immediately. Definitely get over there, check them out, save money. And we want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here of the Geek News Central podcast. I tell you what happened tonight. I got everything ready, running just a little bit late. And what I have found was I got a bill 2 days ago that just about floored me. We've been doing extra live streaming. Normally what I get is I get about 10 hours on the plan that I'm on, and then I'm charged each additional hour. And I knew we had used about 25 total billing hours. And, you know, so I was expecting a certain size bill, and it was almost triple what it was. And it sent an email off to their support trying to find out what was going on. And it turns out the way I had Wowza set up to do the multicast streaming was that when I activated the primary stream here, it also activated a secondary stream. And I had noticed over on my corporate website at Blueberry that we had some of my videos were ending up over there. And I was kind of scratching my head, why? And it turns out that the way Wowza had made some configuration changes, I ended up activating two transcoders, which was double the money. So I don't know if they're going to give me a credit or not. It was an expensive lesson, none the least. And yeah, you don't, you know, when you're expecting a certain bill and it's double or almost triple. So yeah, it was not a happy sight, but hey, you know what? Live and learn, right? When you make a mistake, you have to live with the mistake you made, and it's just something I missed, and I shouldn't have missed it. So life goes on. So anyway, those insider donations would be very well appreciated this month. And we definitely appreciate when you do become an insider and consider us here. So this week has really just been, it's kind of been a blur. And, you know, the movie Groundhog Day is, you know, we laugh about that movie, right? And, you know, smashing alarm clocks and just the same thing over and over again. And for me, it's really kind of got to the point where I'm just like, okay, I get up, get a shower, get dressed, come to the office, work, you know, get some lunch, work, go home, watch some TV, eat, take a shower, go to bed, wake up, take a shower, eat, come to work. It's just kind of, because there's no going to the bar and having a beer. there's no travel. There's nothing. It's just, you know, it is like Groundhog Day, you know. And again, as we're here at the end of 6 weeks of this, I'm getting fatter. I really am. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, I need to start a diet a little bit and lose some weight. The clothes are getting a little tight that weren't tight before. And yet, what do? I'm like, do I have any cookies? Do I have any chips? What can I have to, because it's really not a lot else to do. So I don't know. How are you guys coping on like the food thing? And gym memberships are going to be up, I think, after this. I think we're all realizing, I'm just almost scared to step on the scale, but I got to do something. I really, really do. I was talking with my sister about it today. She stopped here in the office for a little bit, and it's probably the reason my back is hurting because I'm gaining weight. It just sucks. It really, really does. So yeah, and here I am drinking a Red Bull. That doesn't help anything, right? So anyway, if we don't die from cardiovascular heart attack from eating too much and eating bad over these 6 weeks, COVID-19 will get us. But I got two or three things I've got to do, and I just kind of keep pushing it off, you know, and them extending the federal tax deadline, that was the worst thing ever. I think I've got like 30 minutes worth of work left to get my federal taxes ready. I've got to get that done. So I've decided this weekend, taxes done, get these two or three pieces of paperwork done. It's not a lot. It's just some stuff and get that behind me. And then, you know, maybe it's like a New Year's resolution on starting week 7 to try to, you know, eat healthy. But it really, it's hard. And I don't know if any of you else are really feeling it. I am. And other people I'm talking to are feeling it too. So it's a challenge. It really, really is. So I don't know. We'll see what, and you know, my sister said, well, there's a treadmill down in the basement at the house. And I'm like, it's not the same. It's not the same as going to the gym. I've got a treadmill literally 10 feet from me here in the studio. It's never been plugged in since I moved in June. So maybe, I don't know, maybe I can force myself to get on that stupid thing for 30 minutes. I guess it's better than, you know, stroking out here, right? So, but it'd be nice if the weather would get just a little better. We've been cold all week. And here we are in the middle of April. Farmers are putting crops in already. They're driving up and down the fields, putting corn or soybeans or whatever they're putting in. And but I just wish the weather would just get a little nicer. Seems like winter can't leave. Really, winter isn't here anymore, but it just sucks. So, hi, Stephanie. Hi, Kim. How are you? And I don't know what our governor decided. I haven't even paying attention to her anymore. But I'm hearing many places are extending their lockdown. And I'm hearing there's going to be maybe some loosening of restrictions here in about 10 or 11 days or something. But I'm not holding my breath at all. And but if you're living in a state that is starting to unlock, how is it? You know, how are you getting along? Are you going to go out? Or are you just staying in your house? What are you going to do? I'd love to hear from you. So anyway, got a great show lined up for you tonight. Got a lot of stuff to chit-chat about, a lot of stuff in the stack here. Kirk did a good job finding a good amount of news, some really good stuff tonight. But again, don't forget, you know, we've got a couple of websites, live.geeknewscentral.com, where you can watch the stream. We've got the Mastodon chat server at geeknews.chat. We've got the GoDaddy page at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Let's go ahead and get over there and pick up a domain or product, support the sponsor here. But let's talk a little bit about what Apple and Google are going to do. Apple and Google are saying next week they will release the COVID-19 contact tracing tool. France's own COVID-19 tracking app will arrive in mid-May. So what does this really mean that they're going to have a contact tracking technology? So initially, the company said it would, this was supposed to happen weeks until, you know, weeks later, but I guess they got it ready. What he told the EU was that the contact tracing apps are fully anonymized, voluntary, transparent, temporary, and secured, and interoperable across operating systems and borders. It's called deconfinement apps. That's how they're terming these things, is deconfinement, because we're all confined right now. So hashtag deconfinement is how they're being tasked. So will we all have to, sir, can I see your app? I need to scan your app before you enter the premises. The same thing as showing your papers, or is it just going to be a requirement for us to have to track around? Are people in the EU going to be required to have it? During the meeting with the EU, Apple was pressed to guarantee that the contact tracing app would be in line with EU privacy laws, and we know how strict GDPR is. By being, again, anonymous, voluntary, transparent, temporary, secure, and interoperable, the EU said it will only approve Google and Apple's contact tracing tech for a limited time. France is developing its own. So we'll see what happens with this. But we'll have to find out what this app's really, really going to do. So, hey, Chris, how are you? Yes, we got some minions here in the house. As a matter of fact, I got my favorite minion right here with me with the big thumbs down that I can show anytime I'm unhappy. But anyway, so we'll see what happens here with this COVID-19 contact tracing tool. I'm calling it a tool. Zoom. I've been in so many Zoom meetings, it's not even funny. I met with a salesman today. He had me in a Zoom video conference. I was in two earlier today. Our team has, I think, now 4 paid accounts. And, you know, Zoom's been lambasted about its security flaws, but really the backlash hasn't slowed the company down. The company reported on April 21st that more than 300 million people use Zoom on a single day. That's incredible. So maybe Zoom's going to get the last laugh, because Chief Executive Officer Eric Yuan said Wednesday during a webinar focused on security, while some other companies and school districts have dropped the app, Zoom's response has reassured investors and sent shares climbing. I talked with somebody earlier in the week who said that they had a buddy who got to thinking about this before the lockdown came, and he bought a whole bunch of Zoom stock, and he's been very handsomely rewarded for that purchase. But Zoom shares rose to about $150.25, and the stock has more than doubled so far this year. And before the COVID-19 pandemic, Zoom focused on business communication use, and where about 10 million people were using it. And again, my team's been using Zoom for quite some time. So Zoom, Zoom, Zoom. Matter of fact, they're doing the draft. I'm missing the draft. I don't care about the draft, but the draft, I guess, is starting here in about 7 seconds. The draft is going to go on. So any of you going to watch draft, the draft's going to be done in Zoom. Should be interesting to watch. But the auto industry's fight with the FCC over vehicle and everything communications heating up. We've talked about this before. V2X has been slow to deploy, leading the FCC to propose repurposing the safety spectrum of Wi-Fi. Repurposing the safety spectrum for Wi-Fi because they're taking up quite a bit of spectrum. V2X runs at about the 5.9 gigahertz band, 5,900 megahertz, which is prime real estate. In 1999, the FCC set aside 75 megahertz of spectrum in that band, which isn't a lot, but it was supposed to be for dedicated short range communications, which would allow vehicle to vehicles to talk or signs talk to vehicles and so forth. But there hasn't been a lot of adoption, and the auto industry has drug their feet. Now, very high-end vehicles, you know, if you drive a Mercedes or, some high-end vehicles like the 2017 E-Class or the 2018 S-Class or the Cadillac CTS, those vehicles have some V2X communications in them, but what it was supposed to do is be able to have all vehicles communicating with one another as we drove down the highway, and that wasn't the case. So they've been slow, and ever since the FCC said they were going to take it away, automakers have said, oh, well, we'll have 5 million cars next year that'll have it. In a statement, the FCC says that the auto industry's promise were in effect too little too late, given that about 17 million new vehicles have been sold in the United States in each of the last 5 years. The 5 million number was not an impressive commitment. An FCC spokesman said in an email, instead of it only reinforces the need to FCC to reform the use of the 5.9 gigahertz band, so it's put to its best use for the American people. So you snooze, you lose. And that's what's going to happen here with this spectrum. So the automakers are going to have to figure something else out. Hey, SpaceX is launching more internet satellites. Musk is teasing a beta program this year. So they launched another batch of Starlink internet satellites atop of Falcon 9 this week, moving the company tantalizing closer to firing up the network for a limited beta test. Of course, they've got about 400 of those mini satellites launched. He said before they would need between 400 and 800 to really kind of get going, but it would be in a limited geographic area. But they want to have ultimately 40,000 satellites launched. And so Northern Latitudes is going to get the test. Now, what does that mean? Now, we have reported before that this test was supposed to happen somewhere in the south. But he's saying private beta begins in 3 months, public beta in 6 months, starting in high latitudes. So someone define that for me. Is that, you know, is South Carolina, Georgia, Florida considered high latitudes? I don't know. But these satellites are really low, you know, compared to, you know, Barry Kantz, the CFO of Blueberry. He's got a satellite. He's got a Hughes connection. We're trying to do a video interview today, and the lag was too bad. So he switched to a MiFi so that we could at least have a conversation without him being on a 1 second delay. And because, yes, it still takes time for that signal to go to space to that geosynchronous satellite that Hughes has, and then back down to the receiving station and being routed through is about a 1 second delay in the video. So it's not perfect. So these satellites are going to be much lower, so much less transit time. So we'll see what they're able to do or how much this thing's going to cost. I'm excited for broadband for those of us in rural areas that have very, of course, it may not be very fast, but we'll see what they come up with. Another shot of a Red Bull. Sorry. Palantir, Palantir. This company is known for working with military law enforcement and intelligence agencies. Has been tapped for White House coronavirus data analysis. So this data mining company is been hired, and its program is reportedly called the HHS Protect Now. It crunches data. Officials understand the coronavirus pandemic, in which more than 850,000 people have been diagnosed, with 47,000 people in the United States having died. The company's founder is Peter Thiel. Of course, he's a longtime supporter of the president, and he brokered a meeting with several other Silicon Valley leaders at the start of the administration. Palantir has counted government agencies as customers, has worked on counterterrorism efforts. You know, half the battle of doing business with the government is, number one, getting your foot in the door for the first time and getting a contract. What we found at my company is we've got podcast customers from the Senate, from Department of Justice, from DARPA, and several others. And even though we're partly veteran-owned, we don't get veteran preference because there's not enough percentage of veteran ownership to get veteran preference. But it is, you know, we do get a little bit of a stick in the mud from a, you know, a little bit of a, not advantage, but, you know, I get to check one more block when it comes to government contracts. And, but once you kind of get in the system, it's a lot easier to get additional contracts because you say, oh yeah, we got one with here, 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 and here. And it's just getting that first contract. A lot of these companies don't get contracts with the government because they've never went through the rigors of proving how your infrastructure is, proving that you're on U.S. data centers, proving, you know, all these things you have to prove to work for Uncle Sugar in any way. Foreign workers all plays into it as well. Oftentimes, you know, one of the things we did for one of the groups absolutely could have no employees outside of the United States. And that was one of the interesting requirements. So sometimes, you know, if you have a foreign workforce, you're not just getting a government contract just because of that. So when I hear about this company, it makes me wonder what their makeup is. But I'm sure they've had to jump through many of those same hoops. There's some exploratory type of drones being thought about for Mars. Excuse me. They're called tiny levitating nano cardboard aircraft. Oh, they're not even calling them drones. They're calling them aircraft. And it just looks like it doesn't look like an airplane. I'm just telling you that. It just looks like, you know, a panel, a rectangle panel. And this levitating nano cardboard flyers could one day explore the dusty red surface of Mars. This summer, NASA will launch its newest Mars rover, Perseverance, and a helicopter that will fly over the planet's surface as part of a high-risk, high-reward experiment. But even before its launch, researchers are designing much more ambitious aircraft for Mars as well. On a particular interest are flying aircraft that could, with less risk, more effectively observe and study Mars' surface. Now, what this thing does is it kind of flaps like a bird a little bit. And each aircraft weighs about the third of a milligram or less than a fruit fly. These ones have no moving parts. Instead of flying with wings or rotating blades, they actually levitate, however that works. And they've got some other ones that kind of flap around a little bit too. So anyway, it's very odd technology. And link will be up in the show notes. You guys can look at the demo videos that they've got out. So the video looked like it had flapping wings, but it says it's not flapping around. I don't know how they're going to get any science out of these tiny things. Time will tell. Some privacy apps for Android in 2020 that are out there. Bitdefender, Hotspot Shield, Tor Browser, Dashlane, Ghostry, Folder Lock. That's some good security tools there. So the link will be up in the show notes. You can check it out. But best overall, they say, is Bitdefender Mobile Security for Android is one of the better ones out there. Again, a privacy app for Android in 2020. Link will be up in the show notes. Android 11 is just about here. Developer preview number 2 is on the street. And so people are pretty excited about this. Of course, we know back in February, Google kicked off the hype train by releasing the first developer preview for Android 11. And based on what we know so far, Android 11 looks to be a fairly modest year-over-year improvement compared to Android 10. The public release number 2 brought a couple of minor UI changes, but nothing too radical. And they're going to do a deep dive here. But Android handles 5G connections, supports more display types, and more powerful permission controls. That may sound kind of boring, but don't check out quite yet. Google often keeps changes and updates coming with each new developer preview, meaning even that developer preview number 2 and DP3 for the matter isn't fully indicative of Android 11's final public build. So they've got some one-time permissions in the app now. You can allow something to do just one time. A built-in screen recorder. That's something that's kind of cool. That's interesting. That's something new. And so if that's awesome. A built-in screen recorder records audio or the screen. And they're adapting the operating system to different displays. So if you've got one of those new foldable Android phones, which I find are kind of weird, they're going to be supporting that. And of course, 5G ready. That's fully expected. And says you can't flash Android 11 on your phone, but you shouldn't. So what does that really mean? It says Android 11 currently exists as a developer preview, and right now it's in the earliest stage. You can put it on your phone if you want, but again, they advise against it. First of all, you have to manually flash Android 11 developer preview 3 to get it your phone in the first place. Unlike later builds of the OS, you can't just download an over-the-air update. So this just gives you an idea. These are, you know, these are builds for developers so that they can get their existing apps ready for the update. AT&T, boy oh boy, they seem never to have good news. AT&T preps for even more cuts. Yes, more employee cuts. Remember, they got $42 billion in Trump tax cuts and regulatory favors, part of the administration's ability to allow mobile companies and so forth to be able to save some money and add jobs and build their networks out. Well, AT&T promised, what AT&T promised did not happen. The company actually, because they had promised that they were going to surge and spend a bunch of money and expand their network. They said that that they would have 7,000 jobs of people putting fiber in the ground, hard hat jobs that make 70,000 to 80,000 per year. And they said that each billion in new investment spurred by government favors, AT&T insisted would result in 7,000 new jobs. Lower taxes drives more investment is what they said. Well, they decreased its 2020 CapEx by some $3 billion, and unions say the company's cut more than 37,000 jobs since the Trump tax cuts took effect. So this week, AT&T announced it will be conducting another $6 billion in cuts that will include additional headcount rationalization, which in human language means even more layoffs. So it's odd that when news outlets discuss AT&T's cost-cutting and layoff strategies, they fail to mention that we just got done throwing tens of billions in regulatory favors and tax cuts at the company in exchange for absolutely nothing. In fact, we apparently paid AT&T to do the exact opposite. It was really as what it was repeatedly promised to do, and particularly galling given the most AT&T's current problems stem directly from spending too much money on harmful mega mergers and bubbling its entry into online streaming video space. But as usual, the end result isn't AT&T executives paying any sort of penalty. It's the company's workers and customers who have to pay for the mistakes. So for a long time, we have not been fans of AT&T on this show. You'll know that. You will remember that. Apple will begin selling Macs with its own processor in 2021. That's the rumor. A 12-core chip for the Mac based on the 2020 iPhone A14 are in the works. So this is a report from Bloomberg, cite sources close to Apple, who says that Apple's on track to introduce Macs running the Apple-made CPUs and GPUs. And they're developing these chips are codenamed Kalamata. So this is a big deal. Big deal. And I don't think it should come as a surprise to many of us that they're working towards that. The FCC has moved cautiously and planned to prevent space debris and satellite collisions. So today, the FCC changed orbital debris plans to avoid conflict with NASA recommendations. So the NASA approved new rules for preventing orbital debris and collision in space. Again, only after revising the plan to address criticism, the commission was moving too fast and imposing requirements that could conflict with NASA recommendations. Department of Commerce urged FCC to delay action, but apparently they went ahead. So I don't know if that means that they went ahead without the NASA recommendations or not. The new rules, the first update to FCC's orbital debris police in 15 years, are being posed as plans of SpaceX and other companies launch thousands of broadband satellites. So basically, the new rules improve the specificity and clarity of rules that requires disclosure of debris mitigation plans by satellite operators. These changes include requiring the satellite applicants to assign numerical values to collision risk, probability of successful post-mission disposal, and casualty risk associated with those satellites that will re-enter Earth's atmosphere. And a few other things. So all that information will be up in the show notes for you to check out. Expedia is raising $3.2 billion as it travel stalls during the coronavirus pandemic. So they're going out there. Of the funds, $1.2 billion will be in private placement of perpetual preferred stock and $2 billion in new debt financing. Also, Airbnb has raised debt financing during the crisis while dealing with a wave of cancellations. So everyone's going out and getting money. People with money here. And believe me, there are people with sitting on a lot of cash that are just out here raking stuff up, including the Chinese. Chinese are buying a lot of bio companies. Surprise, surprise. It's been announced that Google will make all advertisers prove their identity so people can see who they are and which country they're in. This is big. Now, Google began requiring political advertisers wanting to run election ads on its platform to verify their identity back in 2018. Now that program is being extended to all advertisers. The companies wrote in a blog post this morning from John Canfield, its director of product management for ads integrity. The change will allow consumers to see who's running an ad, in which country they're located in, when they click. Why this ad on a placement? Wow. So consumers have seen a proliferation of ads of products from dubious advertisers like fake vaccines in recent months. Fake businesses have also been an issue. So existing advertisers will have 30 days once notified to complete the verification process since the company is doing the rollout in phases, according to a spokeswoman. If they don't submit the documents by then, Google said it will suspend the account and the advertiser's ability to serve ads until they provide it. So, good. Good for Google. Samsung smart TVs are getting an Apple Music app. So another Apple service comes to Samsung's sets available today. So if you have a Samsung recent smart TV or have upgraded, you should be able to get the Apple Music app now, all right? So if you're using, I do use the Apple Music app quite a bit. Remember the robot dogs? Boston Dynamics is using their robot dogs into helping COVID-19 patients. Spot is allowing healthcare providers to work remote triage to remotely triage potential cases. And so I guess they're walking around hospitals. that Spot robots are allowing healthcare providers to remotely triage patients at Boston's Birmingham and Women's Hospital. The company is sharing the hardware and software behind the robotic telehealth approach, and it hopes other mobile robotics platform will take advantage of the tech. Boston's Dynamic Platform uses an iPad and two-way radio mounted to a Spot robot. Healthcare workers can guide the robots through triage tents where patients suspected to have COVID-19 are asked to line up for initial assessment. Doctors and nurses can speak with the patients from a safe distance, possibly even their own homes. For every intake shift completed by a robot, at least one healthcare worker can reduce their exposure to the virus, blah, blah, blah. So, interesting. Why couldn't have they just set the iPad up on a tripod? It's not like, it doesn't sound like they're having to move the robot around very much. The FCC also voted 6 gigahertz Wi-Fi is here. The unanimous decision also opens up 1,200 megahertz of new bandwidth for Wi-Fi 6E devices. They're expected to arrive next year. So this was expected to happen. The FCC went on to call a move to benefit consumers and one that will further our leadership in next-generation wireless tech. Another funded study by Columbia professor Raul Katz backs that claim up, suggests that the move could generate more than $180 billion in U.S. revenue by 2025. More than twice as much bandwidth as the 5 gigahertz band used by Wi-Fi devices today, the 6 gigahertz band can accommodate up to 760 megahertz channels at once. The latency stands to be a lot lower on 6 gigahertz band 2 because there aren't any existing old-gen Wi-Fi devices operating next spectrum to slow things down. That gives the 6G band the potential to serve as an exclusive multi-lane expressway for Wi-Fi devices equipped to take advantage of all of them using Wi-Fi 6. So those of you that are speed demons and looking in your high-density areas, you'll be able to get a 6G modem probably next year and maybe get a little better connectivity in your home until everyone catches up with you. Nextdoor and Walmart have partnered on a new neighbor assistance program. This is kind of cool. So Nextdoor is basically an app where someone can say, I'm looking for a roofer, I lost my dog. Someone can come pick up some groceries for me. So it's basically a neighbors helping neighbors program that will make it easier for vulnerable community members to get assistance from neighbors who are already planning a trip to Walmart. The new in-app feature will allow Nextdoor users to post to groups associated with their local Walmart store to request shopping assistance. So that's pretty cool. So to find the new option, Nextdoor users can either use the Nextdoor website or mobile app. From there, users will click on the Groups tab where they will see local Walmart stores pinned to the top of the page. Members then can post a message to the group feed where they can ask for help or offer to help others. Members who connect in the feed can then work out the details on the message boards or through direct messaging where they can share more private details like the address and what they need from the store, range how they work the payments. Is that just order and pay through the app? This could also allow low-cost alternative to using online grocery delivery services. So anyway, very, very cool for what Nextdoor is doing. Details are in the show notes. This story almost made it to my top four tonight, and it's actually kind of shady, real shady, in fact. Matter of fact, it's so shady it should piss people off. They're selling stuff on Amazon. Hey, you've got the Amazon brands, paper, tab, all kinds of stuff, batteries, notebooks, you've got it. Amazon has a lot of stuff that's under their own brand, right? Well, get this, check this out. Amazon policies forbid it from using sellers' data to undermine their own products. But that practical reality might be very different. The Wall Street Journal sources say Amazon employees have been using proprietary seller data to help design and price in-house products, including decisions to enter certain categories. Develop a car trunk organizer, as an example, the internet retailer reportedly studied a third-party sales, marketing, spending, and Amazon's share of sales. This also includes executives, according to the source. While Amazon officially has measures to prevent its products higher-ups from accessing individual seller data, those rules apparently haven't been consistently enforced. Execs would use workarounds such as having analysts create reports or obtaining supposedly aggregated data that was really collected from one seller. In a statement, Amazon said it strictly prohibits workers from using private seller info to determine its own label product launches and that it had launched an internal investigation into the practice. Now, when I'm at CES, the Amazon team, the Walmart team, the Best Buy team, they go around the show floor like a herd, and they are treated like absolute royalty. If an Amazon rep stops at your booth, you have basically hit the jackpot because they're there to buy a product for you, from you, to put their label on it. I've seen the Amazon herd, Best Buy herd. I've seen them walking the floor. You want to talk about, it's just like the king walking around because they're walking around with a checkbook and an order form. So it's amazing. Now, I've got a buddy who, I guess I can say it, he sells softball bats. And he's got a store in Texas and a retail store. And he figured out that, you know, he's done sold softball bats for years, that putting softball bats online at Amazon was a very lucrative thing. And, you know, in the early days, he made a lot of money. And then as more people got into it, he had to tighten his margins up. But because he had all these connections, he's done very well for himself selling baseball bats, softball bats on Amazon. Still has a store, still does very well, but, you know, he's found a niche. Finding a niche to have a product available on Amazon is a gold mine, and people are always looking for the product that they can place in Amazon to have sell. But when you have a company come in, let's say my buddy was doing real well with baseball bats, softball bats, aluminum bats, you know what I'm talking about. What if they decided they're going to run their own line and use his data to see how, what the margins were and what the pricing was and undercut him? It would be devastating. And that's what Amazon's being accused of doing here. Very, very naughty. Very, very naughty Amazon. Thus, putting the small business out of business. Facebook is stopping advertisers from targeting users into pseudoscience. The move comes as Facebook makes fighting coronavirus and misinformation a top priority. Zuckerberg has said that fighting the coronavirus and misinformation is one of his top priorities, yet Facebook ads policies have been slow to catch up. Now the company will no longer allow advertisers to target users based on their interest in pseudoscience. The publication discovered the category after seeing an ad for an anti-EMF beanie, apparently meant to protect against radiation from smartphones. Facebook later told the markup it removed the category from its ad platform. So, anyway, I guess people, how do they determine if you are interested in pseudoscience? Curious, isn't it? Apple's next generation AirPods may arrive early in 2021, and AirPods Pro may not get an update until 2022. So you may not want to hold your breath for the Apple AirPods in 2020. Well-connected analyst Ming-Chi Kuo claims via Apple Insider that Apple's likely to mass-produce third-generation AirPods in the first half of 2021 and follow suit with the second-generation AirPods Pro in the fourth quarter of 2021 or first quarter of 2022. They wouldn't have radical redesigns, but they would shift to sleeker system in package internals instead of the usual circuit boards. So, anyway, well, we can live with the current AirPods for now. Instacart is announcing a new COVID-19 policies and plans to hire 250,000 more shoppers. And they're doing an aggressive hiring spree because no one wants to go to the store and everyone wants someone else to shop for them. So the company announced it's adding 250,000 more shoppers. Along with the hiring announcement, it's implementing a slew of new policies, including extend COVID-19 sick pay and bonuses for both part-time employees and full-service shoppers, and in-app check-ins for shoppers that need health and safety kits. In just 1 month, Instacart has announced plans to grow its shopper network 250%. In March, it announced it will hire 300,000 new full-service shoppers on top of its existing 200,000. It has since met that goal, and today's hiring news, Instacart shopper will be 750,000 shoppers. With everyone out of work, people are looking for stuff to do. So, of course, last month, Instacart shoppers went on strike, demanding the company provide personal protective equipment, add hazard pay of $5 per order, change the default tip minimum, extend the sick pay policy to those who have pre-existing conditions, and more. And Instacart responded to just a few of those demands. So are you using Instacart for your shopping? We don't have it here because we don't even have Uber here. Tesla competitor Polestar 2 will start at $59,900 in the United States. It's expected to arrive in the summer of 2020. Wow, what a terrible time to deliver a vehicle. So more than a year after Polestar unveiled its stylish all-electric Polestar 2, the company announced that the EV will cost $59,900 again, and customers will be able to order online. If all goes according to plan, U.S. Polestar retail showroom, the first U.S. Polestar retail showroom, will open in New York and on the West Coast in late summer. So anyway, another EV coming to market. And it is coming out of China. Despite the coronavirus pandemic, Polestar began production of the EV in China. It's a manufacturing car on the same production line that its parent company, Volvo, is assembling, the Volvo XC40. The first Polestar 2 vehicles produced will be sold in Europe, with sales in China and North America after that. So I think maybe stick with Tesla. Anything being directly manufactured in China, I think I'm going to pass at this time. Sadly, Intel shares drop on low quarter two guidance. And Intel has declined to provide full year guidance, but its demand for Intel products was relatively strong in the quarter, with people needing devices to work from home. But Intel shares fell as much as 6% after the company reported earnings for its first fiscal quarter. $1.45 per share adjusted, revenue of $19.83 billion. The analysts had expected 1.28 in earnings per share, an adjusted basis of $18.7 million in revenue. So why did the stock drop when they did better? That's because they're announcing future is going to be lower. Well, we'll see what happens here with Intel. Good luck with them. NASA's incredible new moon map will serve as a blueprint for human Michigan. Using decades of data, the USGS put together the most comprehensive geologic map of the moon yet. So, boy, that thing is just, man, got smashed so many times over the millennia. It's crazy. But we know that we want people walking on the moon by 2024. There's lots of hurdles to overcome, but we do have a good map. We do have a good map to get there. So we'll see how this works out. Security firm details how hackers stole 1.3 million in wire transfers. The group created lookalike domains and manipulated email addresses. The security company Checkpoint Research has detailed this. The story started when a cyber game known as the Florentine Banker targeted three UK private equity companies for a potential wire transfer heist. The thieves targeted high-ranking officials in those companies, including the CEO and CFO, via phishing attacks. Once the thieves gained control of the officials' emails, they monitored them over weeks and months to figure out how the company did business and spot opportunities, make sure no one would notice any suspicious activity. The hackers created mailbox rules that diverted email relevant to the theft to a special inbox, monitored by the gang, creating a man-in-the-middle attack. So they were able to get $1.3 million from them. Wow. Now, it did manage to recover about half of the funds, but the rest was lost. So hackers are always at work. Now, the Tech Hive has a good article about how to record all the free streaming TV before it's gone. So to help people pass the time, several TV networks have been streaming movies for free. HBO's instant opened up 500 hours of free. These aren't simple acts of generosity. These are going to run dry. So there is some cool stuff with a service called Play On. You can record movies and shows from online sources like Netflix, Amazon, Prime, HBO, CBS, All Access, and so forth. The resulting Philly files are yours to keep. So I'm going to you just follow the instruction. This is pretty easy. And now if you're wondering what Play On is legal, Play On also likens itself to a VCR DVR that copies videos for personal use. The user's name and IP address appear at the start of each recording to discourage sharing. And while some streaming providers might point out their terms of service don't allow recording, the fact that Play On has been around for more than a decade is a strong indication service is legal. So just be aware. Anyway, this is a good tip. This tip alone is worth a donation to the show that I've linked you to. Consider a Geek News Central Insider about just how to save some movies and stuff using the Play On recorder. Twitter tests an easier way to find tweets. So this option, it shows you all the times a post has been retweeted with a comment. The company is confirmed to The Verge. In a screenshot posted by users with the feature enabled, the new retweet with comments counter can be seen alongside existing likes and retweet numbers. Twitter says it's currently testing feature with a small group of iOS Twitter users. So be on the lookout for that. Link is up in the show notes. Another good article here by TechHive, Internet Radio, everything you need to know how to stream a world's worth of fantastic music for free. I dig Sonos Radio, but you don't need Sonos speakers to enjoy internet radio. So they've got some guides here on how to do this and all kinds of music on the air that you can stream for free. For you gearheads out there, Ford's electric Mustang Dragster delivers over 1,400 horsepower. The Mustang Cobra Jet 1400 is its first factory-built electric drag racer. And this is pretty exciting stuff. So this Mustang Mach-E crossover isn't available to customers yet, but Ford is showing off another example of what an electric Mustang coupe could be like with the prototype racer. The Mustang Cobra Jet 1400 is the first factory-built dragster prototype with an all-electric powertrain. The company says it's capable of 1,400 horsepower and 1,100 foot-pounds of torque. That should be enough to make it worthy of a historic nameplate for factory-built racers. So there's even more power. That's even more power than the Mustang lithium electric power electric car project that appeared last year. So there aren't a lot of specifics yet, but there is a very, very cool video. So get over there on that link and watch that. DJI's Mavic Air 2. I love DJI's drones. I haven't bought one in years. Mine have been fine. But the Mavic 2 Air will reportedly cost $799. This has been an accidental leak that's been out there. So we've seen some pictures before from FCC, but we hadn't seen any pricing. This hasn't been released yet. But based on leaked information, a foldable drone will be powered by a battery that's 50% larger than its predecessor and can even fly a few minutes longer. It'll boost a max speed of 42.5 miles per hour, and its camera will be able to capture images up to 48 megapixels as well as 4K videos. In addition, it will feature a three-axis stabilization and use several intelligent automated photo modes, such as Active Track 3.0 that lets users pick a subject that the drone camera automatically follows. We don't know when this will be available, but DJI has events scheduled for the 27th, so just a few days away. There's 8 easy ways to reuse your old Android phone or tablet. I'll have a link up in the show notes on that. Also, Gogoro, G-O-G-O-R-O, will launch an electric bicycle in the U.S. this month. So I don't know if you want one of these. They're only going to be $1,800. Yes, $1,800. It's going to be labeled an e-moped. And the announcement is extremely vague. The only information by the company is that the brand will launch in the U.S. in May and then can come to Europe and Taiwan in the summer. There's no photos or mock-ups of the bikes, but given Gogoro's track record, they may be sleek. The company's Viva moped has a retro futuristic look. And again, the Viva started at $1,800. So we'll see what happens here with this. And if you live in cities, they have battery swapping stations and so forth. Also, if you want to know how to extend the life of your laptop, you know, some laptops, man, take a serious licking and beating and do well. And, but there's some tips out there on how to extend your life of your laptop. And I'll have the link up in the show notes on that. Some ways to, you know, get another year out of your laptop. That'll save you some money if you've got one on the edge and budget is tight. All right, we're going to get done at the end of the show here. We're going to wrap up tonight. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. Don't forget about becoming an insider. Geeknewscentral.com/insider. Again, geeknewscentral.com/insider. Start with a $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 a month donation. 6.7 cents a day gets you started. Supporting the show for a measly $2 a month. I hope the show's worth at least that much. So take your butts over to geeknewscentral.com/insider, or we'll even take a one-time donation. It's greatly appreciated. I want to thank you for your ongoing support of the sponsor as well. That's always appreciated. Don't forget GoDaddy for your domain and hosting needs or any type of online product. They've got it all, and we've got the codes to save you a lot of money. I'll be back here on Monday for another show. We'll start week 7. Yes, as we end up week 6 of lockdown here. I hope everyone's doing well, doing safe. Let me know what you're doing. Let me know if you're geeking out, doing any geeky projects at home while you've been locked up, essentially, here. Love to hear from you. How has your online working been? All that stuff. Just drop the geek a note. But again, it's my pleasure being the podcast tonight. I'm going to check out. We're not doing any after-show calls because the ESPN draft is on. I know that's where everybody's at watching that. Even if you're probably not a sports fan, it's something different. So everyone take care. We'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast. Everyone take care. Bye-bye.